start off a word of prayer and get right into singing tonight. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this wonderful opportunity to meet together the brethren. And the Bible says how good it is that the brethren dwell in unity. And Lord, we pray that you might be glorified in our unified singing. We're praying that our hearts will also be unified around the preaching of thy word. As we lift up your word as the standard, your word is the truth. We pray you give Pastor wisdom as he brings the word tonight. And Lord, may we have wonderful fellowship together. Well, thank you for it. It is in Jesus' name we pray and meet. Amen. Let's take our hymn books and turn to 341. 341. 341. Whosoever will. Whosoever heareth, shout, shout the sound. Spread the blessed tidings all the world around. Tell the joyful news wherever man is found. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will. Spread the proclamation over hill and hill. Tis a loving Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever cometh need not delay. Now the door is open, enter while you may. Jesus is the truth, the only living way. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will. Whosoever will, send the proclamation over hill and hill. There's a loving Father, there's a wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. On the last, whosoever will, the promise is secure. Whosoever will, forever must endure. Whosoever will, tis life forevermore. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will. Send the proclamation over hill and hill. Tis a loving Father calls a wanderer home. Whosoever will may come.
Then go ahead over to 452. Two songs in a row tonight. 452. In times like these, you need a Savior. And the second verse, in times like these, you need the Bible. Amen. Beginning 452. We'll sing both stanzas this evening. 452.
In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips a solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only Son. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor hold and grips a solid rock. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not idle. Be very sure, your anchor hold, and grips a solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, God's only Son. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor hold and grips a solid rock.
Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take our songbooks one more time, and this time turn to 553. 553, let's stand together as we sing once more. Just two verses. Song we've sung in the past several different times, but not as frequently as some. I think you'll catch on rather quick if you don't know it. 553, Lord Bless Our Home. You may be seated.
Blinded by my vanity, me heavy vision to win the lost to thee. O thou holy Father, listen to my prayer. Heal this selfish servant from my worldly care. Spread the message that the world may see Jesus' love in me, now to every creature a proclaimer be. Help me spread the
Now, we're in Genesis chapter 27, Genesis 27, but my mom was a good cook, although she probably wouldn't consider that. My wife is tremendous, and the girls always have done a good job. Emily probably more so than Lauren and Jenna at the time, but so to me, it's always a little bit of a downer to go out to eat, all right? I'm more of a homebody there. I'm somewhat like Jacob in some areas, all right? I do love the outdoors like Esau, but I love eating at home, and I love being at home, and I'm happy there. And if I'm not careful, I could just live up on our little 5 acres up there, and I don't have to go anywhere. I can play disc golf, cut down trees, do firewood, clean tools. We just stay up here and be fine, all right? But that's not what God necessarily wants me to do and us to do at this time. I think there's more important things that can have an eternal impact. Genesis 27 is where we're at tonight as we're continuing our Sunday night series on Jacob, the path to brokenness. Jacob, the path to brokenness. I suppose if we had a subtitle for all of these, and I don't, all right, it's always going to be this. It would be My Way or God's Way. My Way or God's Way. That you know, often we've got to be broken of doing things our way, my way. Especially if it involves disobedience to God's way. Jacob, the path to brokenness. We're going to pick that story up where we left off last week here, about midway through Genesis chapter 27. I want to start off by saying this tonight. In order to do things God's way, we must know God's way. And then we have to determine to obey it. If you don't know God's way and you're not in God's Word, which always reveals His way, then you'll live life on the fly. You'll go with what you think could be right, or it seems right, or it appears right, or your heart may tell you it's right, but that doesn't mean it is. If you're going to do God's way, things God's way, you've got to know God's way. You've got to be in the Word of God and say, aha, just like Josiah, as he heard the Word of God being read to him, whoa, we're not doing things God's way. We're disobeying the Word of God. No wonder, and it wanted God's blessing. We've got to do things God's way. Now, that's when it comes to salvation. What does the Bible say is the Bible way, God's way? Wow. So you may be here tonight, and you may think you're going to heaven based on what you think is right, or what you have read, or what you. But we've got to see what God says. Except a man be born again, he can enter the kingdom of heaven. Through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the way of the cross, or it's no way at all. We've got to do God's way. We've got to do it God's way when it comes to marriage. Doesn't matter if you're not married, about to be married a few years, or we've been married 50 years. Oh, it's too late to do things God's way. It's never too late to do things God's way. Now, it's a lot harder, though, I'll tell you that. You haven't done it for years, but it doesn't mean it's too late. Raising children, your home, your family, finances, school, college, doesn't matter what it is, work, relationships, God's Word lets us know how to go about those things. We've got to do it God's way if we want God's blessing. We're just saying, Lord, bless our home. I would think that most everybody here meant those words. Lord, I want your blessing on my home or my family or my marriage or my life. But God's not blessing any home, any individual, any life, any family if you're going to do everything your way and not God's way. It's not going to happen. Well, we're sort of midway through a very well-known chapter here, often called Jacob deceiving his father. But as we saw last week and we'll continue to see, it's not just Jacob deceiving. It's Rebekah and Jacob deceiving Isaac. In fact, believe it or not, the person who comes out best in most of the story in this chapter is Esau. Because he's really not involved in most of it till the very end. You got Isaac doing his thing his way, or so he thinks. You've got Rebekah going to do it this way, and Jacob, you're going to go along with it, and we're going to trick Dad. You don't really see Esau come in toward the end, and certainly there's no indication in Scripture that Esau ever changed his ways as far as doing things God's way in any area, but he's not really the main character here. So we're going to pick things up in Genesis 27, and we're going to pick things up in verse 15. And we'll read 12 verses or so, and then we're going to make some comments and thoughts, and we're going to try our best to finish this entire chapter here and point out some things, all right? So here we are, Genesis 27. Lord, hopefully you have a Bible. There should be a pew Bible handy if you need one. And may your eyes start with me on verse 15. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I. Who art thou, my son?" And Jacob said unto his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou hast badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me." And we read some of this last week. You'll notice Isaac, several, four or five things here that he is going to ignore as he's going to pursue his will. And Isaac, verse 20, said unto his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, Jacob, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." Isaac said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." Jacob went near unto Isaac his father. He felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. My view there, that's not the blessing. You're going to see that coming. That may be more of just a kiss and a greeting. And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, Jacob said, "I am." And he, you got to know who's talking here as it goes back and forth. And he, verse 25, Isaac said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he, Jacob, brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he, Jacob, brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he, Jacob, came near and kissed him. And he, Isaac, smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed." We're going to stop right there momentarily, because right after this he's going to give the blessing that everybody so desperately seems to want. What are we seeing right here, even as we're halfway through this chapter? We've looked at some of this last week. Really, I want to focus more today, is going to be tonight, on Isaac. Really, the last time we'll really see anything significant with Isaac here in a little bit of the next chapter. He's going to fade off the scene for the most part, though he's going to live many, many, many years. He's going to outlive Abraham. He's going to even live more years than Jacob. He's going to live to be 180, but he's going to fade off the scene largely of Scripture. But I want to talk a little bit about that. What do we see in this chapter? Well, we see Rebekah and Jacob's deception. Working together, mother and son, lying and deceiving to get what we want, the blessing. We see Isaac's stubborn and disobedient will as the father. He's stubborn, he's disobedient. He's willfully, he's going to give to Esau what God has decreed to Jacob, no matter what. We know what Hebrews says, that Esau was a profane man, that means godless. and a fornicator. It's no secret, I'm sure, to his father. And yet, for some reason, Isaac stubbornly and willingly is going to directly disobey God. He's going to give Esau the blessing. Later, we'll see Esau, his anger and hatred at the end of the chapter, but we've already seen Esau's indifference. He doesn't care about this kind of stuff. He doesn't care about the birthright and the priesthood, the line of the Messiah. He didn't care about any of that stuff. He is interested in one thing, though. You're going to see that. He does want the double portion, which is the physical blessing. A double portion of the property and the goods and the inheritance. That's all he's really interested in. He'll make that known in a little bit. But for the most part, Esau, who cares? I'm living my life. I don't care about any of that kind of stuff. Later, it'll be anger and hatred, and I'll get my revenge. I'll kill my brother. For the most part, Esau, not seen much in this chapter. So as we see all of this already, we know it's going to end up bad, don't we? I mean, they could sing, Lord bless this home, if they want. God's not blessing the home. Can't do it. Now, again, they lived at a time where there was not as much light, if we could put it that way, spiritual truth. They had enough to know God. I want you to think of Isaac now. He is the son of a miraculous birth. His father, Abraham, and mother, Sarah, waited 25 plus years for him. And his father was 100 and his mother was 90 when he was born. How many times do you think that was recounted to him from his parents? God's blessing, God waiting on God. You don't think Abraham told his son about times where he jumped ahead of God when they went to Egypt and then with Lot and then with Hagar? And son, remember now, Isaac is the son that was put on the altar. Isaac's the young man that was wrapped up in cords. And dad had the knife up there. Isaac's the boy that said, Father, where's the lamb? You don't think he shared that with his boys? You don't think he talked about that often? He's the one that said, Dad, we see the ram. God's provided Jehovah Jireh. Now, he's the son that really there was a miraculous wedding as the old servant went across the country to find a wife, and there was Rebecca as God had led and brought her back. Whoa, what a heritage. But in chapter 27, it says in verse 1, Isaac was old and his eyes were dim. That's interesting. I've read some where purely the opinion of some that, well, he certainly wasn't dying or close to death. He's going to live for, who knows, 40, 60, maybe 80 more years. Some believe that reference there to his dimness really ties in spiritually. If you study that out a little bit in the Old Testament about some of that there. All right, remember when Moses died, what does it say? He was 120. Talked about his natural strength and energy hadn't dimmed in his eyes. Spiritual vitality. It could be a reference to Isaac here is just because of willful disobedience, predetermining. He is going to give that there. That he just fell into a lethargic type of life and you don't really see him doing anything, really. The whole end of his life. He's not dying. He's not going to die here. He's just, and by the way, the spiritual affects everything. Everything. The physical, the emotional, everything. And so it's very likely here that some of this is tied into the fact that Isaac is, because of his pride and willfulness and predetermining and loving, sure, love your sons, but loving more than the other son, this profane, fornicating son that had no interest in the things of God or the stories of Abraham and the God of Abraham and Sarah, but that for some reason, Isaac is determined to go ahead with his plan that he is going to give this to Esau. And that because of all of that, he's a very lethargic, energetic, not much action going on, laying around, eyes are dim, sort of lost his walk with God, and it affects everything. And Rebecca takes the reins, which happens in many homes. domineering wife, and she takes the reins and runs with it, and the husband's willing to follow. Just willing to be quiet and let her lead wherever it takes you. Not what God planned. That's not God's way, though. So you see that here. Now I'm going to give it. I'm going to go ahead, my son. Get me the venison, which I love. I'm going to give you the blessing, the last thing I do. Mom says, no, we're not doing that. We're going to do it. Oh, we're going to get that. I remember God and Jacob, and we see all of that right here. And you see that Isaac doesn't really believe that this is Esau. He's got four or five things here that it doesn't sound like. It doesn't feel. It's way too quick. What in the world, my son? He ignores all of those things. He's going to go ahead and press forward no matter what. But God has other plans, doesn't he? You're not going to thwart God's plans. God works despite man's sinfulness. You're going to see that later with Joseph, right? And the brothers trying, oh my goodness. And God's sovereign. God oversees all of that. God works even among sinful choices of parents and grandparents and children. Even when there's lying and deception and guile and anger, God's ways will not be thwarted, though certainly there's going to be some long-term consequences here. God had already said that the younger is going to rule over the elder. And that Jacob, not knowing all things and knowing Jacob and his heart and where he'll be and Esau's indifference and godliness and ungodliness, would not receive that. The Messiah would not come from Esau. Interesting here. We'll pick up on this a little bit next week, huh? From Jacob comes Christ. From Esau comes Herod. You read in the New Testament about the Herods, right? They're Edomites. Edomites. Esau, the father of the Edomites. Interesting, huh? As Herod seeking to kill, and how often used as an instrument of the devil there, all right? The long-term range of the descendants of Esau and the descendants of Jacob. What does the Bible say about all this lying and deception and stubbornness and pride and anger and hatred? Well, they didn't have the Bible in those days. They didn't have the written revelation of the Word of God. They didn't have the Holy Spirit within to convict and say, don't do that, child of God. Quit resisting God. Repent. You know, as we have that Holy Spirit challenging us. They didn't have that. They didn't have a pastor to go necessarily confront them and someone there. So, but they had enough. They had the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the clear revelation of what God was going to do. And yet today we can look back and say, well, number one, how about the commandment of honor thy father and thy mother? Young people, and even honor thy father and thy mother. That's not been changed. There's no one honoring any father or mother in here. There's a lot of deception and lying and things going on. Oh, what about in the scripture where it says, be sure your sin will find you out in the book of Numbers. Be sure your sin will find you out. What about in the New Testament? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We know that's a universal law. Whatever you and I sow, I remember one time, I've shared this before, I can still remember this, maybe one time we'll try to get Leland Johnson up here for a missions conference, but he was a pastor in Shelby, and then God called their family to Brazil, and then they had to come off the field about 2 years ago because of his wife's health. He's now a director of Macedonia World Missions. Some of you may know that down there south, and he's a director though, but love to get him up here. African-American family, strong preacher, excellent preacher there. Good friends with Dwight Smith, and I had him speak several times to our youth and chapels and things like that. He came one time, he preached for our teenagers at our winter rally. This had been 10 years ago, I'd never forget it. He walks in, and he's got on his back his like 5-year-old son's school backpack. You know, it's like, you know, what is he doing? All right? And he gets up here to preach, and he's preaching on, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth that. And what he has in that backpack, it must have been an old backpack. He had cut a slit in it, and he had a little string, and he would walk around. Now, we were in a chapel, not near as big as this, at a camp, and he walked around. Every time he walked around, he'd say something, he'd pull the string, and all these seeds would come out. By the time his message was done, I mean, there were just like seeds everywhere, you know? And we helped clean them up, but you know, he's just talking about, look, every single day, you and I give out seeds. Everybody does. And the law of the Bible is, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He preached a lot more than that, but it was an excellent illustration. Look, there's no, you and I are putting out seeds. We have today, we will tomorrow. Those seeds will grow, and we will reap. It just depends what kind of seeds you're putting out and sowing. He that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit. It doesn't mean it's always negative. We're putting out seed every place we go. And the law of the Bible is, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you're known for being an ornery, stubborn person, welcome to it. That's what you're going to sow. You're known for being hard to get right. You lie, you deceive, you tell half. That's what's coming back to you. You're known for kindness and graciousness and gentleness. That's what's coming back. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You do things under the table, don't buy all the rules, cut some corners. Don't you get upset then when you hire somebody and they do that to you. You're sowing. That's what you do. How are you going to get mad at that person? God says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You lie to people and they lie to you. You get all mad, they lie to you. Whatsoever man soweth. You crafty and trickery and you, be careful. That's a law of the Bible. Works both ways. How about in the home? How about in the marriage? How about in the family? Got to get your way. Do things behind the scenes. Be careful. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we know what there's going to be some reaping going on here, because this whole family is lying and deception, anger, pride, stubbornness. There's lots of reaping going to happen here. That's what we're looking at here. Let's look at the blessing. Isaac ignores his conscience. He ignores the different signs. It's Jacob's voice. It's, how did you get it so soon, my son? Come near me. Let's try it again. Okay, I guess it is. Fine. I'm giving the blessing. And he does. Verse 28. Doesn't seem as dramatic when you read it, though. It's just two little verses. Therefore, I can see Rebekah leaning against the tent curtain, listening. We finally got it. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee and blessed be he that blesseth thee. This was a different time period, a different dispensation, the time of the patriarchs. Where the birthright and the blessing were passed down from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob and so forth. It's a lot of prophecy involved in here. We talked about the similarities and yet the differences of the birthright and the blessing. It can be confusing. The Bible doesn't always give strictly what it is, but certainly involved in all of that is, at least in this time period, would be the high priest of the family. There were no priests and the law wasn't given yet. You represented the family before God, much like Job. The line of the Messiah would come through this one. You would get a double portion or a double blessing of all the things. And he just gave it. But it wasn't Esau. It's Jacob. The heel catcher, the supplanter. He gets it and he leaves. Look at the wording of the Bible as we continue reading. Verse 30. And it came to pass. Now, we like to add in here, Murphy's Law. Who, old Murphy right here. Well, this is God's way of doing it a lot of times. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of, I mean, literally, he goes through maybe one tent into the next. Here comes Esau, his brother, from his hunting. Verse 31, and he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I'm thy son, thy firstborn Esau. Now here's the key verse right here. We'll come back to this. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. Now, here's the verse. You need to underline this phrase right here. This is very, very important. We'll come back to this. Yea, and he shall be blessed. We can read that very quickly if we're just reading through the Bible fast. I'm going to come back to that. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, this would be Isaac, and he said, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he, verse 36, this is Esau, is not he rightly named Jacob? You have to determine if this is true or false. For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away. That's the way you remember it? He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. Remember, he is not interested in any spiritual blessing here. Surely I get something. Lord, just one little thing, father. End of verse 38. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. That doesn't seem like Esau, does it? That's a tough guy. He's a hunter. He's a man's man. He's not cared one bit about anything. Now all of a sudden he's crying, Dad, please. Something. Verse 39. Isaac his father answered and said unto him, this is Bible prophecy. Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. Say, interesting. Interesting. What's that mean? Verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father had blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Everybody thinks he's going to die. Notice, it's in his heart. Outwardly, he may look like a lot of people. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. Hey, good to see you. Church day. How are you doing? Oh, but down in here, smoldering. Bitterness and anger and revenge. He says in his heart, Dad dies, and after the funeral and all the mourning is over, and things settle down. I mean, what does he say? Whoa. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. Whoa. I'm going to respect my father. He's going to die here soon. Once all that's finished and we get through the formalities and all the family and the relatives, I'm going to keep hidden in my heart, just like Absalom, right, later on? Keeps there burning. Remember, Absalom for 2 years played the game. Hey, brother. All the while planning and stewing of how I'm going to kill Amnon for what he did to my sister Tamar. Until finally Absalom said, hey, we're having a big party. Why don't you come? I want you to come as well. Boom! Be careful, right? Oh, my goodness. Esau, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. Let's finish off the chapter and we'll make some application. And these words of Esau, the elder son, were told to Rebekah. Of course they were. That's what goes on around here. I don't know. Some servant told her. I've heard. He's letting everybody know. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, remember, these aren't little boys. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. You obey mama. You did before. Obey my voice and arise. Flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget. Now, how about this? How about this? And he forget that which thou hast done. Wait a minute, Mom. Once he forgets what you did, Mom, you told me to do it. It was your plan. A lot of things you see in Scripture, right? But Amnon had a friend, right? You probably preached on that several times. Amnon had a friend, old Jonadab, David's cousin. Right? After Amnon was killed, he didn't care about him. He's like, oh yeah, he's killed. What kind of friend's that? Not a friend. Hey, I'll tell you what, here's what you got to do. You obey me, my son. You need to get out of here right now. Yeah, it's going to be a long journey. Go to where my brother, I've got a brother, Laban. Go over there, hang out for a little while, and things will cool down. We'll get word to you. Come back. Everything, your brother, forget about it. Don't worry about it. You come back here, everything will settle down, be okay. Verse 45, then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? She'd already lost Esau years ago. It was Isaac and Esau, Rebekah and Jacob. I don't want to lose both of you. I already lost one son. I don't want to lose both of you. Go do it, my son. And then look how the chapter ends. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. Remember, Esau had two wives, the Canaanite women. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as those which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do to me? There's the end of the chapter. Now again, you might, that was really neat. Okay, but we're not interested in just learning facts. We're going to draw the net here and make some application before we conclude here. So what is going on here? Wow. You're going to see that Isaac, Rebekah, Jacob, Esau, you won't see much more from Esau here for a while. You won't see much from Isaac. You won't really see much from Rebekah. This is going to focus solely on Jacob primarily, but he does obey mom. And he's going to leave, and he's going to go. And we'll pick up that story and his journey, Lord willing, next week. Wow, deception, guile, bitterness, anger. Can God bless any of this? Brother against brother, husband against wife, sides, and who loves more than the other, and all those kind of things. What in the world? What a messed up home, we would say. But amidst all of that, I want us to go back and finish tonight by looking at that verse I said was a key verse. Verse 33. Did Isaac know? Did he believe that it really was Jacob and he went ahead with the blessing? No, I don't believe he did. I believe he really did. Despite the warnings, he just ignored them. He fully believed he was given the blessing to Esau as he had planned. But then when Esau came in, he said, Dad, what do you mean? It's Esau, your son. It says in verse 33 that Isaac trembled very exceedingly. In this one verse, Isaac in one swift moment realizes everything that's happened. I mean, in just one 5 second, we don't know. He saw his great wrong. He saw his defiant, foolish will. He recognized his stubbornness and pride. He saw God's sovereignty and mercy, and in 5 words, because in that last phrase, the word and is italicized, so that wasn't in the original, that was added to help understand it. He utters 5 words. He knows exactly what he did. He realized that he gave the blessing to Jacob as God had said. Despite the fact that he was fully prepared to disobey and give it to Esau. And he trembled exceedingly, and all at once it came to him. And look what he said here. It's pretty amazing. Yea, he shall be blessed. Now, that doesn't seem very significant. Like, Esau, you're a failure. Yea, it's almost like he rises up. Yea, he shall be blessed. I'm not changing it. It's what God should have done all along. I was wrong. I know I was wrong. I almost ruined everything, but God intervened. He shall be blessed. In fact, you see a little resurgence from old Isaac. Take a look at chapter 28, the next few verses. What happened to the guy who was lying on his deathbed? How about the guy everybody's like, quiet, he's going to die soon. Look what happened here after he said, yea, he shall be blessed. And no, I'm not changing things, son. Chapter 28, look at it. Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife for the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan-Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother, and God Almighty bless thee. Wait a minute. What happened to him? I mean, everybody was tiptoeing around. He couldn't see. He's bringing his death meal. Now all of a sudden, he looks like he's standing up, rising up. This is the way it should have been all along anyways, son. Boy, I realized that. How foolish was I? So glad God intervened, and even though I was prepared to do wrong, God meant it for good. Son, he starts talking about God again, verse 3. God Almighty bless thee, make thee fruitful, multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, verse 4, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. Whoa! That's the way it should have been all along. But Isaac realizes it. He shall be blessed. In one moment, he's like, son, God bless thee. Almighty God, the blessing of Abraham be upon thee. This is what God said when you were in your mother's womb. This is what was told to me when God spoke to me through Abraham. This is the way it's going to be, son. Wow. But after that, you really don't see much from Isaac until you read about his death and his two sons come to help bury him. Largely off the scene, but praise God here at the end. I want us to finish by looking at one verse in the New Testament. Would you turn back with me to Hebrews chapter 11? It's a most amazing verse. If you and I were author of the Bible, we would not have written this. If you and I had written this and we gave it to somebody to proofread it, they'd have said, we saw a mistake right here. I think you messed up here. I don't know if you caught what you wrote here in this Hebrews chapter 11. But you know what? God said, put it in the book. Hebrews chapter 11, that hall of faith. You say, Pastor, I know where you're going. That can't be. It can't be. There's no way he's in there. You know what? Isaac is in the hall of faith. Well, what's he in the hall of faith for? Well, he is mentioned along with his father in the sacrifice, verse 17. But it's talking about his father, by faith Abraham. We're in Hebrews 11, verse 17. Says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Wow, well, but wait a minute. Look at verse 20. You and I read this and we say, it can't be so. What? By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now, if we said that's your verse, men, to preach on, do the men's Bible study on that verse. I mean, I know that God overruled, and by faith? I didn't say faith. God said right here in the Bible, this is inspired scripture, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. What? That's like that verse in Peter where it talks about righteous Lot. Righteous Lot. I didn't see him being righteous. And God said, righteous Lot. Vexed every day with the wickedness. What? I don't see that at all. What do you mean, God? All right. Hey, but God said by faith. Do I understand all of that? Can I go back and give you all the examples of how that happened? I don't know exactly, but I know what. I believe the Bible. And somewhere between yea and he shall be blessed. Father, don't you have a blessing for me? And chapter 28 and God Almighty, somewhere in there, by faith, an old man spiritually who'd sort of coasted like an old prophet who'd no longer been doing what he was told to do and had given his love and affection to a godless, profane son, a fornicator, and given all his affections to that young man and sort of turned a blind eye on what God wanted and refused to listen. And over the years, he just sort of hardened his heart. This is the way it's going to be. And God, in his sovereignty, overruled that. Isaac recognized that, trembled exceedingly, maybe had what sometimes happens to you and I. What am I doing? What was I thinking? Oh, God, I'm sorry. Oh, I can't believe that. He shall be blessed. Somehow in all of that, God said, put it in the book. Hall of Faith, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Wow. Wow. Aren't you glad that God's a merciful God, a good God? See sometimes what we don't see. The end of the book's not always written. Do we see much from Isaac? We really don't. Was he a bad man? No, the Bible doesn't say he was a bad man. He sort of was a man stuck in neutral. It seems like maybe that doesn't do good or bad. He's silent the rest of his life, though he's going to live a long time. What about Rebecca? Still the domineering mother, the wife leading the family. Questionable motives, wrong actions. Appears that Isaac, though, after chapter 28, for the most part, was content to remain. I mean, think about it. Jacob's gone. Esau lives somewhere nearby. It's you and your wife. I mean, it's sort of hard to when you have don't trust each other, isn't it? I mean, you can stay together. It's sort of hard to get over that distrust and all the years of just each person sort of doing their own thing, and now Rebecca will never see her son again. She'll never see any of the grandkids. Isaac will, but it'll be at the end of his life. Not much there. Largely seems to be rendered neutral by his failures and passivity and letting his wife lead things. Esau, we'll see him again, and he was blessed, and he will be a rich man, a powerful man. Powerful nation, the Edomites will come, but it'll be a godless nation, the Edomites. Proud, selfish, angry, bitter, murderous Edomites that God deals with in the book of Obadiah. Longtime enemies of Israel, and which Herod comes from, kills all the babies, and a thorn in the side of many of the apostles, known by their sword and murder and pride. What about Jacob as we wrap it up? But what about Jacob? He now has the things he wanted, the birthright and the blessing. I got it. It was always going to be his, though, wasn't it? He just needed to wait on God. Trust God. I don't know how God's going to do it, Mom. I don't know how God's going to do it, Dad. We're just going to wait on God. God said it. We're going to trust God. We're not going to get involved. We're not going to do it our way. It's going to mess things up. But you don't have anybody saying any of that. Everybody's going to do it their way. They're going to be proud and stubborn and crafty and deceptive and lying. But now, in chapter 28, we'll pick this up for the first time in his life, he's leaving Mom. First time in his life, he's going to be on his own. He's going to leave home. He's not a little teenager. All right? He's minimum 40s, probably more 60s. A homeboy, a mama's boy, always doing what she... But he's going to leave now, and he's going to be on his own for the first time. He's going to learn a lot about himself. He's going to learn a lot about God. But it is going to be a long, hard road to the path to brokenness. He hadn't really learned a whole lot yet. For 20-plus years, he's still going to do it his way. He's going to pick up traits he saw from Dad and Mom, and he's going to take them with him. That's the way he was raised, and now he's going to take a little bit farther. And it's going to be a lot of heartache, a lot of problems. We're going to be getting into that. Is he ever going to obey God? Is he ever going to trust God? Is he going to let God have his way, or is Jacob going to say, nope, 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 I'm going to keep a little hand on you, God. I would like your blessing, but I'm going to still do mostly my way. We're going to see what happens. He's going to learn a very hard lesson. He's going to learn a lesson that you and I sometimes are still learning. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. What happens to a Christian that covers up sin? Can God's hand be upon you? Possible. If you believe the Bible, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. He that covereth his sin shall... I mean, that's a Bible truth. You either believe the Bible or you don't. If you've got sin and you're covering up, you will not prosper. You will not prosper. You will not prosper. You got hidden things on your phone, lying, cheating. He will not prosper. But he that confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. I think I'll do it my way. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. be sure your sin will find you out. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall... I mean, there's universal laws that God has in the Word of God based on the character of God. Do it His way. All right? Absolutely. Do it His way. Jacob's about to learn that. It's going to be a hard lesson. He's going to be reaping very quickly. And he's about to be introduced to a man that's even more crafty than he is. Uncle Laban. I've heard it said many... Jacob's got his undergraduate degree in that, but Uncle Laban's got his doctorate. He's about to meet a man that's a whole lot more craftier and deceptive. He's going to reap. It's going to be a hard road. It's going to be a hard road. Will Jacob ever be broken? Yes, because we know the story. But it's going to be a long time before he's ever broken. Is he ever going to yield to God and say, God, your way? Yes. But it's going to be a long time coming. I guess the question as we finish tonight is this. Have you ever been broken, child of God? Broken of what? You keep saying broken. Broken of your will. Broken of your way. Broken of your path. And say, yes, God, I submit completely. You can yield to God in your own will and submit with a humble spirit. Or God, if you're His child, He's going to break you. He's going to break you. And that's a hard, long road. I trust that if God's been working in hearts, whether it's a young person to mom and dad, brother against brother, sister against sister, brother against sister, cousin against cousin, spouse against spouse, brother in Christ against brother in Christ, sister in Christ, family against family. I'm not breaking. They got to break. Not me. You let them do it first. Never me. Not going to do it. Week after week, I'll stay miserable. I'll stay pretending. Not going to be me. Proud. Pride goes before destruction. And the Holy Spirit before a fall. May we be humble. May we be meek before God. May we say, God, have my way. I want to encourage you tonight, if you've been sort of doing things your way, trying to get through school in your way, your wits, your smarts, trying to get through life, whether retired or trying to, your marriage, your family, your friendships, your finances, just sort of doing everything your way, maybe a little Bible now and then just in case, but mostly it's your way. Would you be willing tonight just to submit in your mind and your heart and say, God, I'm tired of doing that. Please forgive me. I'm yielding to you completely. Forgive me of my pride. Forgive me of my stubbornness, my haughtiness. Forgive me, Lord, of my arrogance. Lord, break me. Whatever you've got to do, please break me. I yield to you completely. Would you be willing to do that? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just a simple invitation here tonight. Most in here are regular Sunday night crowd, folks that are associated with this church. I've not heard everyone's personal testimony face to face. Pastor's heard many of yours in years past. So I would assume, humanly, that most in here have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Doesn't mean everybody has. There may be some who have given a testimony, but in their heart of hearts, they know it wasn't real. They know they're not saved. They've been struggling with it. Would you submit to God's way when it comes to salvation? Salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. You have no part in it other than exercising your faith in the finished work of Christ as you turn from your sins. You're not going to go to heaven your way. It's not going to happen. Would you be willing, if you're here tonight, maybe you've been thinking about it. Maybe you have a young person here today that's been, they're thinking about it. They've been hearing about it in Kids for Truth or family devotions, or maybe mom and dad have been talking to their younger son or daughter or teenager about the Lord. And maybe they've been thinking about it and they're ready to be saved and trust Christ, but they're a little nervous, a little scared. Would you be willing to trust Christ tonight and submit to the Bible's way of salvation through Christ alone? Just simply say, Dear God, I am a sinner. I know my sins. I'm lost in my sins. I'm deceptive. I lie. I cheat. I'm not nice. Lord, I know that you died on the cross for those sins, and I'm turning from those sins. I'm repenting of those sins. Please forgive me. I believe that you loved me and you died for me on the cross and that you rose again, and I believe that you can save me and I want you to save me. Would you please save me and rescue me from my sinful condition? Lord Jesus, You know, if you meant that prayer in your heart as you prayed it silently or said words like that, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is there anybody, perhaps just me looking, would raise their hand and say, Pastor Boyer, I want you to know I prayed that and I meant it with all my heart. I trusted Christ. I prayed to receive Christ. I repented of my sins tonight. Let me ask you, child of God, you're saved, you know the Lord. Do you normally operate your way or God's way? Is it always a battle between your stubborn will, my stubborn will, and God's? Is it always a fight? Is it always a wrestling match between the Spirit of God and your flesh? Are you stubborn, proud, and hardy, and arrogant, and rarely changed? Does it take years to hear the same message before you yield to God? Do you quickly repent of sin, or do you hold on to it? Are you willing to do things God's way or your way? Perhaps tonight the Holy Spirit of God showed you that you're very much like Rebekah or Isaac or Esau or Jacob in some way. Are you willing to continue that way? Would you humble yourself before God? Admit that you're the problem and not the other person? Now, a proud person won't do that. A proud person, it's always the other person. It's always the wife, the boss, the pastor, the brother, the sister. It's never you. That's the sign of a proud person. Would you be willing to humble yourself before God tonight instead of letting God humble you? Say, dear God, please forgive me. I'm so proud, so full of self, so hard-necked. So God, forgive me. I want your way to be done. If God showed you a particular area that you've been cutting corners, might have to get some things right with a teacher, with an employee, a parent, a spouse. You may have to confess some things and face the consequences of sowing. But let God have his way. Start tonight. Don't go another day in pride. God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, all of us by nature are proud, selfish. We all go astray. We all want our own way. And Lord, I trust that everyone here tonight has trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, when that happens, the Holy Spirit of God moves in. Now, Lord, we don't have to willfully sin. We do know what's right. The Holy Spirit will guide us. And Lord, we can resist the Spirit and quench the Spirit and grieve the Spirit. Or we can yield and have a tender, broken heart to the things of God. Lord, I pray that everyone here tonight as they walk out would have submitted to the Holy Spirit of God if they're saved. I pray no one would leave with a hard heart, a hard neck, a heart filled with anger or bitterness like Esau. But Lord, we would yield to you and experience the joy of the Lord. Lord, help us to always determine to do things your way. Our marriage, our family, our home, our work, our employment, our finances, our relationships, whatever it may we do it God's way and trust you. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the Word of God, which gives us that clear instruction. May we study, read, obey, and memorize it this week, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.